first chapter of Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth. And with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the young virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow, and I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastened me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou unto me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked, and beheld, my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that, like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days shall they say, or they shall say, no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth be searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner, and the measuring line shall yet go forth against it over upon the hill Gareb, and it shall compass about to Goat, and the whole valley of the dead bodies, and of the ashes, and all the fields, unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more forever. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. As we have had much in the way of Jeremiah's prophecy thus far in the book that has been threatening, difficult, convicting, and hard to hear, last week we began to turn a corner where we hear of the Lord's grace and mercy to his people in chapter 30. Now here in chapter 31 that continues. It will continue also for a few more chapters as we hear about the Lord's mercy. I want to maybe consider this passage in a broad overview first. I think we can govern the chapter itself from verse 3, where Jeremiah declares, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And it is from that foundation, then, that we see the Lord first speaking to Israel, then speaking to Judah, and then speaking to Israel and Judah, and then speaking to the whole of the people as this covenant becomes in the days of Messiah a new covenant. And then as we see that it fills up all of those promises of God as the new covenant. And so there's an obvious progression in the passage. First of all, Notice, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. And I want you to make sure and understand that in Jeremiah's day, Israel means something different from what it meant in the days of David. In the days of David, Israel meant 12 tribes. 13 if you count the Levites. In the days of Jeremiah, Israel means 10 tribes in the north that some 140 years before had been taken captive by the Assyrians, by Sennacherib, and taken so far away from the land and that they were never really constituted again as the northern kingdom. We must remember that the Lord is turning His sight, as He says specifically, to Ephraim. Who is Ephraim? The largest tribe of the north, often put for the entirety of the northern kingdom, because it was so big. So this is a very important development here. And who is Ephraim, the son of Joseph, who is the son of Rachel, who is mentioned in this passage, weeping for her children. So the Lord is taking a particular view of the northern kingdom here, although they have been scattered throughout the face of the earth, that is particularly gracious. As Jeremiah is a prophet to the southern kingdom, this would be especially comforting to the southern kingdom because they are about to experience the carrying away to Babylon. And so the Lord reminds the southern kingdom of the grace and mercy that He yet holds toward Ephraim, although they have been scattered throughout the world and will be drawn back together in his due time. And although that drawing back together is put in terms that would make sense to the people of the Old Testament, it is truly a drawing together that is far beyond what they could have imagined. So, that's really the overview of the chapter. He begins by speaking comfortably to Israel, the northern kingdom. And this goes on for quite some time. It extends all the way down to verse 17. And then in 17 and then, I'm sorry, 21. And then in 22, he adds Judah to the mix. And then after that in 27, he says Judah and Israel together. And then it is my decided opinion, my considered opinion, that when we hear in verse 31 that only Israel is mentioned, he's considering Israel in the old way of considering it, Israel and Judah together, because he's already made that clear in the earlier portion of the chapter. And by the way, this is how it will be reframed by the apostle in Hebrews chapter 8, where we hear of both Israel and Judah coming under the new covenant. It's a fascinating thing. If you look at it in the details, we don't have time in a reading here to bring out all of those details, only to cover these broad strokes. But listen to what the Lord says, because He is a father to Ephraim. How will He bring Ephraim back? What does the grace of God include here? Here's what it includes. Listen very carefully in verse 18. I have heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me and I was chastened, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. After that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Then the rhetorical question, is Ephraim my dear son? Yes, the Lord says. Is he a pleasant child? Yes, the Lord says. Since I before spoke against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him. And the mercy of God toward Ephraim is seen in his repentance, in his smiting upon his thigh, in his bearing the reproach of his youth, and in his turning from his former wickedness. This is how the Lord will bring Ephraim. Now it is true, the apostle tells us very clearly in the Old Testament, that this is not a national promise, right? Not all Israel are Israel. It is only the true Israel that will smote upon the, that will strike upon their thigh and will come repenting before the Lord. But that is the sign of God's grace that we look at here. So then he turns his sights to Judah in verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Wow. So you have basically three or four different interpretations of that passage. In the past, I have understood it to be a prophecy of the Messiah. I'm not moved off of that, although Calvin would disagree, Matthew Henry would disagree. I'm not moved off of that because of the context of what's happening here. Notice, this new thing must also correspond to the new covenant that comes later. And that comes indeed, doesn't it? That is inaugurated, that is brought in to ascendancy by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He even speaks of Israel as the virgin daughter. Now, let me give you for a point of fairness some of those other views, because they're very godly views. I just don't think it's what this passage is saying. In that it says a woman shall encompass a man, the way Calvin would understand it is, you know, she's been gadding about all over the place seeking after others, but now she will throw her arms around her true husband. She will encompass her true husband like that. And that's an interesting way of understanding it. But I don't think it does justice to this new thing, which corresponds to the new covenant, which is indeed brought in by Jesus Christ himself. And so there shall dwell in Judah itself and all the cities thereof together husbandmen, and they shall go forth with flocks, for I have satiated the weary soul and replenished every sorrowful soul. And then notice Jeremiah at the end of this section on the Lord's grace to Israel and Judah, characterized in repentance and in the coming Messiah. He says, upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Well, this is a fine meditation, isn't it? That we should meditate upon the grace and the mercy of God as it comes to pass upon Ephraim and Judah. Ephraim, who had been taken captive and yet will repent and come home. And Judah, who is about to be taken captive and also will be brought home. And so in that day then, it will be no more that it is for the generations that have gone by, Sabbath breaking and departing from the Lord, that the nation will be carried away. It's not going to be like that anymore. You will not be able to say, which you say today, the fathers ate sour grapes, but it's our teeth that are put on edge. Now, they were rightly put on edge because they partook of those same sins, although they pointed back to their fathers and cast the blame there. But note also that everyone shall die for his own iniquity, and every man eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. In other words, in the days of the new covenant to which Jeremiah points here, we stand before the Lord, don't we? Believers in ourselves. As ourselves, not in ourselves, but as ourselves, a better way to say that. So then, the covenant that will be made will be not like the covenant which was cut in the days of Egypt. They broke that covenant, although I was a husband to them. But the new covenant will be that I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts. When this woman shall encompass a man, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come with his grace and with his blessing and the pouring out of his Spirit, they will teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. In other words, you'll not turn to your fellow church member and saying, you must know the Lord. You must come to him. You must learn to call upon his name. No, the situation of the church will be different. Instead of the five or six believers that came out of Egypt and the rest died in the wilderness, the church of the new covenant will be much more soundly established upon faith and a new heart. This is what Jeremiah is saying here. All right, so then the passage ends in 35 through the end. The Lord confirms His promise to all of His people with the covenant of the light and of the night and the day, the lights of the sky. If these things can depart, so then My grace will depart. Of course, the rhetoric of that is they will not, and so My grace will never depart. And then finally, in 38 through 40, we see that this new covenant church is going to be something different than it was in the days of Israel and Jerusalem. The city here had particular boundaries. The boundaries that he talks about here are far beyond those. The line that will be drawn for the city in those days, says the Lord, is going to encompass, and this is very interesting, from the Tower of Hananiel to Gareb and then to Goath. Gareb was the mountain next door, far away. And yet the Lord says it's going to take in that mountain too. So notice the proportion, first of all. Then secondly, the mountain Goath means Goath means scab, the mountain of scabs. It was called the mountain of scabs because that's where all the lepers dwelt. And so the Lord will encompass then. He will bring in those who were formerly cast out. And then finally, he says, notice that it will go all the way to the brook Kidron. And the brook Kidron was the trash heap of the area where they burnt all of the idols and all of the those remnants or dregs of idolatry. And the Lord said, we're going to encompass all of that as well. In other words, the land will be cleansed from all of her uncleanness. And so the proportions of Jerusalem in the new covenant are going to be so much greater than those of the old covenant, which is indeed in keeping with this new thing, the new heart, the new city, and so on. All right. Thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's